Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That isn't true. You've never done a podcast.
No, so that's why I was like, oh, what's the deal? What's it about? I've not done it. As in,
it doesn't matter what it's about. That's trivial. But okay. But obviously then you don't have your own podcast, which is almost unheard of these days.
So I tried setting one up. Right. It was going to be called Make Me Smarter, where I was like, I would interview people on various topics, and then I would try write like a joke or two about it, and then perform it live in a club, and then I would play it back.
That's interesting.
Then I would play it back to them and say, "Did you think I succeeded in making it funny?" So it was never like about succeeding. It was just, here's an interesting interview, here's me doing some comedy, and then here's me either failing or succeeding. So
right, but that seems like a good idea for a podcast. But how far into it did you get? I mean, I assume you didn't get anywhere because you've never been on a podcast before.
So I recorded the first episode. Someone saw me do my Edinburgh show ages ago, and they were like,
"Right,
they actually saw me do my, I think, I don't want to say worst show, but the show that got the least audience reception of my 2021 run. But he was in there. He was like, "Oh, I thought it was really great. I want to produce a podcast for you."
2021 was a rough year. Let's not blame you for that. You know,
it was great. It was the best Fringe ever. That one,
really?
Yeah, that was when no one went up. Like I.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, why am I making out that it was hard? That would have been way easier. Yeah. Do you know what? I think you should blame yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I sent him it, and he just never got back to me. and then I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I want to." I've been focusing on other stuff, really, like quitting the day job, sorting out my living, getting these gigs set up, so I don't have to have a normal job.
Here's what I'm worried about. Why is my line? You know, the vocal line. Mm-hmm. Can you see the screen? Why is it not making any wavy waves?
Oh, yours is. As in, like, I was worried. I was worried mine isn't making enough waves.
Oh, well, if you think it's making wavy waves, then I assume everything's fine.
Oh, it definitely
is. But to me, it looks like, you know, my heart monitor. It's just dead.
No. Your heart's alive and well. It's erratic, but great. It's doing well.
Great. Well, you know, I've got the microphone right up to my beak, as they say in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And also I'm just loud.
Great.
So yeah, I'm assuming even if it's not recording, it'll somehow end up on the recording because I'm so
It looks loud. Like something's recording. I mean, you could...
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
We could stop and you could test if you want.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I'm not doing that. Where's the spontaneity in that? Where's the fun? Where's the excitement?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you how to do your podcast. It's your rules.
No, because you literally you've never done a podcast before. You were literally the least qualified person to tell anyone how to do the podcast.
Oh,
so.
For sure, yeah. In the world, actually, that's what my next podcast will be, about me being so unqualified to run a podcast.
Here's the thing. We haven't started, but we have.
Okay.
Is that all right? Yeah, so, you fine. Know, we'll I've start.
I've not said anything I regret so far.
No, you haven't said anything controversial. Would you guess what I broke?
What did you break?
I broke a door. I broke a door in my studio. It's a spare room. I've broken the door, and it's completely off its hinges. Because what I did was, and you must never do this, I vacuumed up.
Oh, and, yeah. No,
yeah, and I knocked into the door a little bit. Just a little bit. And the door absolutely fucked off its hinges, and the hinges are actually snapped. So
now, I'm loath to encourage violence, but it does sound like the door had it coming. If that's all it takes.
It didn't take much.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, I've been going to the gym lately, so maybe I don't know my own strength.
You think those hoovering exercises that the gym's known for?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, when I say I go to the gym, I've got a cleaning job at the gym now. So
does that technically count as working out if you've done like a big shift of cleaning?
It's a big floor. It's a lot of floor. You get a good workout vacuuming that floor.
I've never seen like someone who's ripped, and it's like, what do you do? And it's like, I clean gyms, and I'm like, oh, of course that makes sense. Of course you'd be like absolutely. Well, Janet is just absolutely stacked.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you vacuum the whole floor, and it's not one floor because it's several floors. So say you vacuumed all three of those very large floors, plus you cleaned all the machines. Yeah, you'd be buff at the end of that.
You go to a big gym.
Yeah. If you did, I do. I go to a huge gym.
Well, so you get the biggest gains.
Exactly. Do you know what? Probably something about pain and gain there. I don't know. You gym guy?
No, I used to. Wow, I say used to. It's only been 2 months. I'm trying to get in shape by running. So over lockdown, I was one of those people.
You looked like a runner.
Who actually took up running. I'm very flattered you think I look like a runner.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah, you do.
Great. Well, that's all that's told me is I don't need to bother again. So I took it up over lockdown. I was pretty pleased. I got in much better shape. And then comedy started again, and then I was like, okay, well, I don't need to do that anymore. I can get my self-worth elsewhere.
Right.
And then I think I started again maybe 5 months ago, and that was going fine. I was back into it. I was like, why did I ever stop? And then I had laser eye surgery, and they were like, you can't exercise for a month. And it's been 2 months, so I need to rebuild that
So you're
habit.
Just being careful.
Oh, I'm being so careful. Why I'm like eating all these puddings. I'm just like,
you've exactly. I mean, doctor's orders.
Yeah, this is a brownie of caution,
mate. You've grabbed my interest there. Why did you get laser eye surgery?
So I'm 28 now, and I've never really
You're
had
quite
any...
old.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting on, but I've never really had any savings. And then. You know, after getting out of uni, starting comedy, that's like a grind. You're not really making a huge amount.
Right, okay.
I was working part-time jobs, all that sort of stuff. And then now, for the first time in my life, I had some savings. And I was like, all right, I'm going to buy myself some new eyes. So,
yeah, brand new eyes.
Yeah, I don't know what will happen if I have any more money, whether I'll get, like, new feet.
Are you like my friend... Dan, who, like when an iPhone comes out, he buys a new iPhone, even though his iPhone is perfectly functioning. Like your eyes completely fine, but you just went, no, I want fucking new ones.
You've gone from eyes to iPhone. That's the
yeah, exactly.
No, I'm actually pretty. This is really bad.
Your eyes are shit.
Oh well, not anymore. They're bioengineered. No. They used to be, but no. As in terms of like the phone thing, I googled a stat where it was the average phone in the UK. Most people buy a new phone less than every 2 years, so it's like I think it's like 18 months. So like in my mind, my attitude to phones is if I keep my phone for 2 years, I am better than everyone else. And then I allow myself to buy a new phone. So I just go off the statistical average. So I'm actually the opposite of that. But I usually get quite a cheap phone. So I'm not like a, not one of those, got to have the latest modern ones. I just, about every 2-3 years, however long it takes for me to get frustrated with it, because I've bought a cheap phone that isn't built to last. And then I update the tech and then I'm like, wow, everything's come on a long way.
If you are one of those people though that, you know, as soon as the iPhone comes out and like you've got to buy it, I've got a tip for those people if you want to get yourself off that habit, because what I did for my for the phone I've got now, I actually went to the Apple store and bought it, and I'm never setting foot in that fucking shithole ever again that's filled with wankers. If you just go in there for, I'd say, 9 seconds, you'll want to burn it to the ground. So what I'm saying is go there and you will be free from this terrible, these chains that you have put on yourself that means you've got to get the next iPhone as soon as it comes out. Because these people are fucking dickheads.
So I've got two takeaways from there. This is a swearing podcast. That's fine.
Yeah.
I hadn't been dropping any fucks or shit, so I was like, all right, okay, I'm gonna work
clean. Drop away.
I've not done podcasts, but I have done radio a little bit, like local radio. So I was like, all right, I can.
That's like podcasts.
Yeah,
you might get paid.
Well, no, you don't. Not a local radio. But I was like, okay, I'll turn that off. But as in the other thing with the iPhones, if you're like, oh, you know, maybe they're doing that because they're trying to save you from the consumerist loop that they know we're all trapped in. Maybe that's why they make the experience so difficult, so you're not tempted to buy anymore if it was too easy.
I'm going to tell you this now, Barry. I think you've already come across as quite wide-eyed and naive. And like really, almost, I mean, you're quite a sweet fella. Yeah. But that's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to bury you in an early grave. But anyway, should we start the podcast?
Yeah, let's get started.
Might as well start. Right, I'll start. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Leghole. It's me, Michael. You'll never guess who has fallen in to the Leghole today. You'll never guess. It's only brilliant comedian Bert Williamson. Everyone applauds. Everyone applauds. Everyone applauds. Hi, Bert.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, great. So we're in.
Yep. It's fine. Things could be better. I don't know if you know this, but I recently broke a door.
Yep. I've heard the news, regrettably.
Yeah, okay. How are things with you, though? I should have asked that. I should have been the one that asked. How are you? How are you?
Doing good. I'm living in the shadow of the clock changing. I hate that so much. Okay.
Like, so that's you're a week into the clocks changing and you haven't adjusted?
Well, I don't have any real tangible schedule just because, you know, doing comedy.
You've got nothing to do.
Yeah, it's whether I'm emailing an hour later or an hour earlier, I'm still emailing. Please, can I do this gig? I feel adrift. I don't like the clocks changing.
Right. Well, let me ask you this then: are you like a nighttime guy or a daytime guy?
I think I walk the liminal space between light and dark, really, Michael. If I had to say, but
You really? Do you really think that?
No, I don't. I was being pretentious for the sake of it.
No, I liked it. I liked it.
I appreciate it as the host. You sometimes do have to just take me at face value, and I enjoy that. You can't be like, no, that's absolute nonsense.
No, I've met you. That didn't come across to me as at all like you were some sort of weird Batman figure. No. I mean, you seem like a really nice guy.
Oh, thank you.
But, you know, no, you're welcome. You're welcome. See, here's the thing. Although I think I function better at night, I don't like the dark. I like the light evenings. I like that it doesn't get dark now until about, you know, 7:30.
For someone that had a nightlight until they were about 7, I'm very comfortable with the dark now, I think. I think given like I really didn't like it when I was a kid.
Right.
Now I think I'm into it. Not like not to like a not a fanboy of the dark, but sure. I'm comfortable in it. Yeah.
Would you like me to feel make you feel a little bit better about yourself?
Sure.
I was scared of fireworks when I was young.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you also a dog?
No, I was a child brought up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles.
But you
find
were
that fucking funny, Bert? Find that fucking funny, do you? Do you, English bastard? Sorry.
That's what I was angling for with my silly dogs are afraid of fireworks. You're like,
no,
he's clearly gunning
for
this.
That's why I didn't like fireworks today, because of bombs, actually, Bert.
Oh, was it actually?
Fireworks. Yeah, because fireworks and bombs are the same thing in a way. I don't know.
Oh no, I didn't realize. No, that's completely fair. No, my bad.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you know about the Troubles. They're probably over. In fact, they were over by the time you were born, weren't they?
Yeah, I was born in 1995.
Oh, so you just got the last 2 years of the Troubles.
And that was really the defining feature of my first 2 years of existence in the village in England. I remember them.
here's the truth. I genuinely was at the Northern Ireland, the peace talks for the Good Friday Agreement. I was there in London. And there was a lot of talk from your parents saying, we cannot get Bert over to sleep. Can you keep the noise down? So I think that really helped bring peace in Northern Ireland, because we were worried that you weren't sleeping.
You're welcome. Well, that for me is, I think, the colonial guilt of my ancestors. I was aware of that the moment I was born. And, you know, it was the least I could do was to help a resolution. It's just a shame to see the current political climate with, you know, Brexit and stuff. But I'm no longer two. I don't have the negotiating skills I once had. So, you know.
Well, don't fucking just shrug it off, mate. Pull your fucking finger out.
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you this now, but if you have not solved the Northern Ireland crisis problem by the end of this podcast, you are going to be, you're going to look a right Wally.
I'm hoping there are more qualified two-year-olds that will be willing to do that now. I think it's time for the next generation of two-year-old political leaders.
Mate, I think there are many more qualified two-year-olds than there are in Westminster these days. Anyway, let's start. Let me tell you exactly what's going to happen here today, Bert. Okay. I'm going to ask you 10 questions, just 10.
Great.
And from the answers that you give, I'm going to write up a psychological profile of you. And at the end of the podcast, I'm going to hand that psychological profile over to the police. So
great.
That saves you a bit of time and money.
That's fine.
The first question I ask, and the last question, every guest here at the Lake Hole gets those questions. Mm-hmm. But the eight in the middle, Bert, they were written for you. Are you
specifically
ready? Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I'm very flattered.
Well, don't get your hopes up. Here we go with question number one. Bert Williamson, do you like sherry?
Sherry? I don't think I've had it.
No, me neither. I don't think I've had it either.
I know it's an alcoholic drink. What is it specifically?
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I know about it. It's fortified, but I don't know what that means. I understand what that means when it comes to a building, but not a drink. I've had fortified wine, but I've managed to invade it really fucking easily. So I don't know how fortified it is.
Isn't it like enhanced with vitamins or something?
Does that mean, though?
I mean, I don't know whether this would take the joy out of it, but my temptation is to use my phone to Google it. Is that allowed?
You can't. This is a psychological profile quiz, so you can't do that. In fact, I'm going to put that down. Big cheater.
No.
Big cheater. No, what?
Can you put first for knowledge? That sounds way better.
No, big cheater. That's a real shame. That's a point down there already for you.
Is that the worst answer you've ever had?
No. Do you know the worst answer I've ever had is yes.
Yes, really? Okay, great.
I mean, like, how... I don't know if I drunk it or not. I honestly... But just the idea of sherry is fucking revolting.
It's like a wine or something?
It is like a wine, but it's like... It's a fortified wine. But what does that mean? And why are you fortifying a wine? It's perfectly fine as it is. Did you know, Bert?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that in Spain, they put Coke in their red wine?
No.
As in Coca-Cola. Not even cocaine, something interesting. Coke.
I've like, never felt so culturally different from Spain.
What I'm saying is I don't like any form of racism, but I'm deadly against all Spanish people now since I've heard that.
Oh, well, you can say I don't like that aspect of the culture.
That's no, fine. No. It makes me distrust everything else that they do.
Do you go specifically after people? Yeah, the Spanish people, not the cultural putting.
I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm saying they're stupid. All of them. Every single one of them. The most intelligent person from Spain is a fucking thick idiot.
Just to be clear, I don't share that opinion.
Okay. Coward, I'll put that down.
Coward? Yeah, okay.
Coward.
Open mind for all peoples, I think, is probably...
Okay, deluded. I'm putting that down in your psychological profile. Deluded. Here we go. Question number two. No, listen, you can't make up your own psychological profile. I've got very little to do in this podcast. Let me have this.
Okay.
Question number two, Bert Williamson. What's the latest you've ever stayed up?
The latest I've ever stayed up?
Yeah, so what's the latest?
At what point does late become early? Because I've done all-nighters.
Stop trying to be cool.
I'm not trying to... Being awake isn't cool.
I'm going to put that down.
I've been... Oh, I'm cool for, on average, 14 hours a day. Is that like...
Yeah.
Oh, no, it'd be 16, wouldn't it? That'd be more normal. Yeah, 16.
Yeah. Oh, so you just said 14. Hang on. Lazy. Put that down.
No, I usually sleep about 8 or 7.5 hours. Pretty much.
No, that's good. That's very healthy.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not putting that down, though. It's not interesting.
No, the latest, I think I've done probably about 36, 40 hours away.
Have you?
Yeah. So it's like
I mean, I probably have, but it would have been a long time ago.
So it's like all-nighter for university, and then it's like if I go to bed now, then my body clock is doomed, so you try to stay up till about 6, and then you sleep. Okay. So it's like, that's about right.
You've hit on a subject that is close to my very wounded heart.
Oh, yeah?
Because I never went to university, and I regret it. I'm very jealous of people who have gone to university. So now let's have a university conversation.
Great. Well, I dropped out, so I didn't enjoy it very much.
Okay, so you had an opportunity, and you pissed it up against the wall. Well done, Bert.
Yep. Yeah. I was there. Wasn't for me. And then now I'm doing something that is for me. So no regrets there, really.
I'll put thick down.
Yeah, thick. Psychology.
What were you studying? Where were you studying?
I did English with creative writing at Goldsmiths University, London.
Oh, just up the road from me.
Yeah. Do you live in...
Yeah.
I live
in Lewisham.
I didn't want to dox you. Yeah, I lived in Lewisham as well, actually.
Did you? We could have been best friends.
We could have, for sure.
What was your address in Lewisham? I'll pop round with a blue plaque.
I think at one point... I lived at on Halesworth Road. I can't remember any more than that. Like, because I only ever lived there for like a year at a time, so I didn't ever like memorize the address in the same way that I have.
So let's talk about Lewisham. Did you go to Fox and Firkin? What pubs did you go?
I rarely went. Like, I was sort of on the periphery between Lewisham and New Cross. I sort of rarely went more towards Lewisham apart from the Aldi, because I'd usually go to New Cross because that's where all the student stuff was happening. That's where my friends were. That was the centre of the university sort of stuff going on. I went to Peckham more often than
that.
Yeah.
Okay. New Cross Inn?
Yeah, New Cross Inn. Yeah.
I used to
live opposite the Amersham Arms.
Lived
direct, as in like I was genuinely one street over. So I wouldn't even buy drinks at the Amersham Arms. I'd just have like a bottle of vodka in my flat. And then rather than spending money on their beers and stuff, I'd just walk in and out of the club, go back to my house, like down... whatever I had prepared, and then go back in. I got so drunk. Like, I remember one time I came back from the house, and I came back from the club, and I was in the house, and I was like, oh, I've got all the tools, I can make a sandwich. And I just was making a sandwich, cutting one with a bread knife, and
you've
I
got
was,
all the tools for a sandwich.
I've what, got all bread? The tools for a sandwich. Oh yeah,
sure, yeah.
I was a capable man. I was studying at university. Right. I was like, this is within what I can do.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But even that proved too much for me. I just was cutting this sandwich, and then I cut into my hand because I just was so drunk. I couldn't tell when sandwich ended and hand began, and I cut quite far into my hand, as in, like, it's something I should have definitely got stitches from. It's quite like quite a big scar from, like,
and you didn't go and get stitches.
No,
that's very
bad. Like, from the knuckle to, what's the opposite of the knuckle? The bit that's like,
what's the opposite of a knuckle?
Well, on the front. So you've got the knuckle on the top, and then you go all the way around, and then the bit on the front, like the ball of that.
Yeah, your balls, your testicles. That's the opposite of a knuckle.
My index finger scrotum. That's the scar, goes from like the beginning of the knuckle to that, and that's from sandwiches. So that was my experience of university, being an idiot.
So. Can't make a fucking sandwich. I'll just put that in.
I can make sandwiches now. Don't you worry.
Well, because you learned the hard way.
Oh, well, more than that. One of the part-time jobs I did was I was a sandwich delivery man for about 2 years. That was my post-pandemic.
That's easy. I mean, you can deliver sandwiches. That doesn't mean you can make them.
Oh, well,
I mean,
do you know what?
People deliver great works of art. Did they paint it? No.
Yeah. Well, I also, you know, I was around sandwiches. I've lived amongst them.
Right.
I've worked. I think I know how to make one now.
Yeah. You get that a lot, though, in comedy, don't you? People who went to a lot of comedy shows and they think they can do it. And it's like,
But I have also made sandwiches.
I mean, I'm not doubting it. I mean, I am, because I don't know if you remember, you cut your own handballs off.
No, the balls are still there. The ball scrotum is.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Bert Williamson, question number 3. Mm-hmm. Here we go. How many posters have you got up on your wall?
None. I don't have any posters.
Oh, you don't have any heroes?
Heroes? I mean, I have heroes, but I don't have any posters. I've got some pictures.
But you don't idolize them.
I think I'm careful, at least in terms of, I try not to idolize individuals. I like to respect their work more. I think, like, I'm kind of suspicious of celebrity culture as a whole. So there's lots of people that I really respect and really admire, but I'm not sure it would ever be to the point where I would have, like, a picture of them in my room, maybe. Mm. Not to disparage you or anyone if they do that. It's just, that's just my own personal opinion.
I've got 3 posters up right beside me. I don't know if you want me to talk you through them.
Yeah, go for it.
I've got Robert Smith. It's a signed picture of him.
Oh, brilliant.
Robert Smith, right. I've got, and you'll know this guy, Dave Murray.
No, I don't know Dave Murray.
He's the guitarist from Iron Maiden. So okay. And of course, to make the triangle complete, I have the Dalai Lama.
Wow. And so, has he also released some music?
Well, he was the bass player in Iron Maiden for a couple of years. So,
oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. When they went through that really boring, quiet period?
Mm.
Yeah. So, I put that question down, how many posters have you got? And do you know what that was? But that was very immature of me, because that was me sort of going, ha, 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 you're a young person. I'll ask this stupid question. But actually, you've got none, and it turns out I've got 3. So who really here is the immature one? I would say it's me.
Oh, no, I think you're fine to do whatever you want. I respect it. Sure. If you like that sort of stuff. I saw The Cure live at Reading.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, great. I was right at the front.
Wow. I mean, I've seen them a few times. They're good fun, aren't they?
Oh, it was amazing.
I mean,
yeah.
They don't look good fun, but they are.
Oh, yeah.
They lure you in.
I think that's the main word that I used to describe it. Yeah, it was fun. It was a really fun show.
Yeah. Ooh, that's what he says. Right, we're going on to next question. Question number, I don't know what number it is. It feels like 4. Does 4 sound right?
Yeah,
let's go with
right
4. Here we go. Bert Williamson. Bert, name the gig that made you think, yes, I can do this. I can be a stand-up comedian. But also, name the gig that made you think, yes, I've made a huge mistake.
Ooh, I'm not sure the gig where it's like, yes, I could do this. That might be pending.
Yeah, it hasn't happened for me yet.
Yeah, one day, a gig where I'll start with one where I feel like I can't. My first ever open spot, I think, was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life.
Sure.
Yeah.
It should be, though. You know, a lot of people do their first open spots and they go, oh my God, mate, I nailed it. You didn't. It was a coincidence. It went well.
Yeah,
you don't know anything in your first gig. No one does.
Exactly. So it's like, for me, it was, I started gigging in Bristol, scene's lovely, all this, and you're doing all these open mics and you don't really know what's good, what's not. But like, mm-hmm. people talk about, you know, there was this sort of perceived wisdom of like, you do, like, there's always a death on the horizon. But I'd done like lots of really nice, small, you know, to 10 people, but it's well received. Everyone's lovely. I say well received, not like critically. I've made a splash my first, but as in like, it's gone all right. I've performed to a couple people, it's gone all right. And mm-hmm. I can drive, so I'm more experienced now. So it's like, he's a newer act. He could probably perform for 10 minutes. He's maybe not awful, but crucially, I need someone to drive me. So I drove this act to the gig.
I think we should point out, if you don't mind me interrupting you for one second, we'll go right back. But I should point out that is quite normal in the comedy world, isn't it? When you start and you can drive, it helps you get bookings, mainly because, they want you to be a good comedian. Don't get me wrong. They do want that. But if you can drive all the other comedians to the gig, perfect.
Yeah, like, the most crucial moment for my comedy career was when I passed my driving test. I think I can say that. Hand on the heart. Nothing comedically, none of my ideas, thoughts, reflections on the human condition, mm-hmm. me presenting myself, being vulnerable. None of that matters apart from the fact that I can use a clutch. Anything else?
Right. It's exactly why I never learned how to drive. Because if I learned how to drive, then what's my excuse for not being successful?
Well, there you go.
At least I've got one.
Oh, speaking of excuses, very quickly, for being successful, I've been sending emails out, as you know, doing this, and I've gotten a couple of emails back saying, oh, I'm really sorry you ended up in my junk folder. So now, whenever I apply and don't get a gig, I'm just like, well, I've ended up in the junk folder. That's clearly what's happened. Like, any gig, I'm like, I'm in the junk folder again.
Yeah. But also, in a way, don't we have to sort of listen to that? Mm. You know, it's like, that's a good point. Maybe we all do end up in the junk folders.
I think we're in the junk folder of society if we're doing comedy.
Oh my God, completely. Do you know what? I'm gonna put down realist. That's the first positive thing.
Great, realist. I love it.
There we go. I think we got to the end of that question, but I'll be honest with you, I don't really know.
I was telling the story of my first opening.
Oh yeah. Please do continue. Sorry, that was my fault. I completely interrupted you, and I apologize.
That's all right. It's a free-flowing conversation. Some of it's going to get spilt. I don't like that I said that. I said that immediately, and I was like, no, that's
revolting.
It is gross.
I'll put revolting down.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize to anyone listening to this. So I was driving to the gig. It was in Llanelli, which I was practicing saying in the car because I so desperately wanted to get it right, and I was so intimidated by the fact that it was a proper show to proper people. The other open spot on the bill had dropped out, so I was now had an entire section to myself, and you know, it was a really great lineup. Like Dave Longley opened, I was in the middle, and then Incognito closed. So he was there for my first ever open spot, which, you know, I think I'm really, really, like, you know, proud of the fact that he was there. But I went on stage and I had this bit about it was the first like bit that was longer than a joke that I'd written, where I'd go on stage and I'd pretend that I was expecting to perform to marine biologists that I'd been tipped off.
We all expect that.
For sure. Well, I'd been tipped off that the audience was going to be full of marine biologists. So as such, I'd prepared some bespoke material for them. And then I would just confess to the audience, like, I can see that's not happened. This is all I've got. got nothing else. And it'd be, I'd say lines like, oh, you know, if you think a marine biologist would have laughed at that, please do. And then I'd just get stuck in and go like, any fans of cephalopods in? Just perform it. Straight face, sure. Like this dumb, really niche thing. I found it very funny. But the audience as well and athlete did not in the slightest. I did 7 minutes of my 10-minute spot to absolute silence, people getting up, leaving. And I walked off stage and I was just like, what am I doing? That was so humiliating. That was the worst experience ever. And then, Cogs says to me, oh, do you mind if I reference some of the stuff that you did? Mm-hmm. You know, very magnanimous that he'd asked. And then he went on stage and said, oh, man. And then he just did the exact same thing. I was like, oh, I was expecting marine biologists, but whatever. But he smashed it. And it was so incredible to see him do that. But after the gig, in the foyer, about to leave, and then someone comes up to me and just says, oh, it was a real shame, without any irony, it's a real shame those marine biologists didn't turn up. And like, to me, suddenly that was no longer the most depressing experience of my life. It was just so funny because it's like, I just gone to a room to people that didn't really like me, and they were just like, oh, well, this is a shame. Oh, I feel bad for him that this hasn't worked out for him, that they haven't turned up. And then suddenly it's just like a reminder of how absurd all of it is. It's also dumb.
Of course it is.
Do you know what? Actually, that genuinely, maybe that's both. Maybe that story's both.
Well, here's the thing, Bert. It could have gone worse. Maybe they could have turned up and it could have been far worse if they had, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing. I did a Christmas gig about 8 years ago and...
Yeah, it's been a while since the last Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. Has been. And it's... half of the audience were taken up with one group booking, which was a group of architects who designed and built the Eden project.
Wow.
Now, right, isn't that impressive?
Great.
Anyway, they were fucking cunts.
Really?
Just horrible. Just drunk and abusive and really superior and thick as pig shit, by the way.
Really?
And, oh, really thick. At one point, I got heckled with, you're fucking gay.
Oh.
By the architects of the Eden Project. And the thing is, I think I'd come up with a really good fucking put down, but they were too thick to fucking get it.
What was it?
Because I just went, yeah, that's the problem with you Eden Project people. You know, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I thought that was a funny Eden joke. Yeah. Didn't get it. Fuck off. All right. So what I'm saying is you think you're going to be in front of these really intelligent people, but you know what? Really intelligent people sometimes take a day off and they're horrible.
Well, I also think... intelligence is when people say, "Oh, you're smart," or "You're not." I think that's kind of a really weird way of thinking about it. I don't think like people have like a, in terms of like one's mind, it's not like a sphere that just gets larger the more intelligent you are. Where you're good at everything, it's different. Like spiking off, like, "Oh, he's really good at spreadsheets," but socially is an absolute moron. It's like a spiky, jagged pufferfish rather than like a round, expanding orb. I don't know if that metaphor makes sense, but it works in my mind, at least.
I'm too stupid to know whether or not that metaphor does work. So, well done.
I'm thinking of laugh.
I'm going to put slightly smarter than me.
Okay.
Down in your psychological profile.
Is that a compliment or an indictment?
Mate, that's up to you. Well, no, it's not up to you. It's up to the police. Okay. Here's question number something. Bert Williamson. To make things easier for the citizens of the United Kingdom, do you think there should be a weekly updated arsehole chart clearly showing who the top 10 arseholes in the country are?
It depends. I would say...
I'm going to put unsure down.
Yeah, like...
on your psychological profile.
Is there any encouragement? Because you wouldn't... What you could happen is people then like...
You're right, Lawrence Fox would fucking love it. Yeah, Lawrence Fox would love it.
Exactly. Like it would either raise the profile of the wrong people or it'd cause people to pile on and abuse. What would you say is the criteria for being an asshole? Is it like cut you up while driving or is purporting.
Well, right. You see, you could say that. I mean, I think both are relevant.
Mm.
You know, I think
you need different categories. I think of arseholes.
I guess so. I guess there could be arseholes and then arseholes in your area.
Mm. Or like MILFs.
Yeah, just phone this line. There are single arseholes in your area. You ring them up and they go, they tell you their fucking opinion on abortion. You go, oh, Jesus.
Well, that's described. What I would love is for that line to have like an incredibly reasonable rate. Just be like, well, they really, this is a real fair price for the service, the arsehole service. Like, yeah. It was an awful experience, but I'll tell you what, like, a bargain.
Yeah. You know? What I'm saying is, I think. In this day and age, the top 10 arsehole charts would be a bit like the top 10 pop charts, in as much as you'd see them and go, I actually have no idea who any of those people are, and they change completely week after week.
Mm. And then like you would, oh, and then you would like, oh, who is that? And you'd look it up and you'd be like, oh my goodness, that's
yeah, now awful. I know who that prick is.
I'm going to say no now. Because do you know what?
I think we've both talked me out of it as well.
Yep.
I did. I think initially it was a good idea, but you and I are right to poo-poo it.
Yeah, I think you and I are right. That's my main takeaway from this.
Okay. I can't write deluded down again.
Well, because I'm agreeing with you, because you'd get caught in friendly fire there.
Yeah. I'll put pointlessly confident.
Yeah. Oh, that's the truest thing you said. Yep.
All right. Here we go. Question number something. Bert Williamson. Oh, this is a good question.
Obviously, the others haven't been.
Nah, they'd be pretty shit. This one's great. Bert Williamson. How many times have you seen lava?
Physically seen?
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Is it with my own eyes? It's there.
Yeah, not with someone else's eyes, your eyes.
Mm, well, my eyes aren't my eyes anymore. They've been edited.
Oh, that's true.
They? Yeah. So.
Yeah, even with your Terminator eyes, how many times have you seen lava?
I think I've ever seen it.
I don't think I've ever seen lava. Isn't that weird?
No, I think that's pretty,
it's there. Oh, reasonable. Yeah, I guess it's good in a way. But like, I've seen sharks, and they're quite dangerous, aren't they?
But I think there's more sharks going around than there is lava.
Yeah. But you were saying that I think I don't want to speak for you, but I think what you were saying was it's good to not see lava. But I mean, you could see lava from a distance. I've not even seen lava from a distance.
I'm going to put
not well traveled down in your psychological profile.
Well, I mean, that's all relative, isn't it?
Well, have you seen lava?
No.
No, you're not well traveled.
That's the threshold. There could be a man that's like never left his house. Someone has brought in like a tub of lava. He's a look at it, and you're like, he's seen some stuff.
He just lives in a tiny hut at the bottom of a volcano.
I
barely don't see lava.
Have you ever seen lava? No.
But you know what? I've never been to Swansea. Not well travelled. I think I'd be excited to see lava.
Yeah,
I think you don't like. Here's the other thing. Like, you don't see pigs often, do you?
Whenever I want to, really. This farmer.
You'll need to explain that. No.
I've got a hotline. Bring them in, and then they get them. They get them around. I live in a town. But on the edge of the town, and I can walk about 20 minutes, and then I'm rural.
So maybe you can see some pigs there.
Yeah, so like there's a farm that has.
But it's not like pigs. It's not like on our many many journeys we're not sort of driving or going on a train through countryside. But pigs aren't just hanging out in the country, are they?
No,
they're not like sheep or cows or farmers.
No,
hanging about.
Pigs have got like stuff to do, I think. Thanks.
They've got like a little pig bar, you know, and they're hanging out in their pig bar, whatever that's called. It's probably got a name.
The sty.
See, I was going to go for Wetherspoons. I was going to go for a more hack joke. But well done you for going with the proper word, the sty.
That's right.
That's all right. It is all right, isn't it? Well, I feel a bit bad that neither of us have seen Lava.
I mean,
you don't seem to care.
Well, it's not too late. I could go to Iceland, actually. Iceland's got Lava, isn't it?
Do you know what? I missed what you said because you went all Cyberman digital on me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're perfectly fine now.
I'm known to do that every now and again.
Sure.
I think Iceland would be the safest place to see Lava, actually. Yeah,
right, exactly. I'd love to go to Iceland.
Yeah, and it's near. That feels like...
Yeah.
I don't know where else you'd see Lava, but like Iceland feels like... I feel like the Lava they've got there is safe.
Yeah, exactly, because Iceland is safe. It's like one of the loveliest countries you can possibly go to, right?
For sure. I bet you can hold Lava there.
Yeah, exactly. People have Lava flowing in their house.
It's cold to it. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like lava baths or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Just have a lie down in the lava. Yeah. Here we go. Here's another question. Bert Williamson, you're in a desert walking along in the sand when all of a sudden you look down. Mm-hmm. You see a tortoise. It's crawling towards you. You reach down. You flip the tortoise over on its back. The tortoise lays on its back, its belly baking in the hot sun, beating its legs, trying to turn itself over. But it can't, not without your help. But you're not helping, Bert. Why is that?
Wow, that's what a beautiful image. Other than
I come up with that question myself.
Yeah, it's poetic.
Thanks, man.
Why am I not helping?
Mm-hmm.
Well, am I supposed to invent a circumstance or a reason, a genuine reason why I wouldn't help that tortoise? Because I like to think
it seems like you're avoiding the question.
Well, no, I just want to clarify because I love tortoises. I really like them.
Okay. Well, let me repeat. You have flipped it over on its back and it can't turn over and you're not helping it. So why are you not helping it?
Because this one looks like a prick.
Oh, do you know, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Thinks some tortoises are pricks.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's quite reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have time for this one. That's what I've decided. Sure.
Do you
I
know
love
what?
Them overall. This one.
Do you know what? I can safely say, my friend, you are not a replicant. So
great.
There we go. In fact, I put that down. A replicant.
Also, can't tortoises self-flip? It can't be like they just flipped and they're just done for. Surely.
Well,
not.
The question clearly fucking states, mate. I'm going to put down doesn't listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a long question.
Yeah, but I mean, my God. Like he said, he can't turn over. This one can't. In the same way that some tortoises can be pricks. Some tortoises can't.
Oh, God. So, well, now it might be like a disabled tortoise. And
yeah,
now
it
I,
is.
Like,
actually.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, this question is only getting worse.
And it was gender fluid, or what other minefields can I fucking step in?
I don't know. It's queer. It's a queer tortoise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you did that, Bert. You happy?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I'll put sad.
But I also think people from any background or any walk of life, no matter who they are, can be pricks. And I think the same is for tortoises. So yeah. I stand by my answer.
That seems a bit all lives matter to me. So I'm going to put down racist.
Wow. is the purpose of this podcast to just slander me as much as possible?
Do you know what? I hadn't thought of it before. Anyway, I'm moving on, and it's question number 8. Can you believe it? It's question number 8, Bert Williamson.
Wow.
Bert, in what ways are you clearly superior to Greta Thunberg?
I'm very good at water slides.
Great. Okay, you confident that she's not?
Yep. Purely on mass, I'm much bigger and denser than she is, so...
Okay.
And I suspect I would take them more seriously. I mean, I think she'd probably be opposed to them as a whole, because like it's a lot of water, which is quite an intensive thing to maintain,
right.
Energy-wise, environmentally-wise. I think I can beat her down any water slide.
Do you know what? You had me until you said one tiny... I sound like Poirot here, but you give away one tiny flaw. You said you'd take it more seriously than she would.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think she doesn't take things seriously?
Oh, she takes a lot of things seriously, but I don't think she'd have time for water slides. And I think you're underestimating just how seriously I would take them. I'm not saying she wouldn't take them seriously. I'm saying I would go way above and beyond because it would be her priority. Whereas for me, that's my priority. Like if I found water slides were going extinct when I was a child at school, I would have probably led some school strikes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put down angry baby in your psychological profile.
Again, not inaccurate.
Okay. Question number 9. Bert Williamson. Bert, you've given up stand-up and have decided to become a serial killer instead. Oh. But as you're not established yet, you still have to drive other serial killers to their gigs. Which three serial killers do you think would make up the most boring car journey?
I know so little about serial killers. I really do. I don't... A bit like people talk about true crime, I've got...
Yeah, I don't like true crime. I hate it.
I can barely name three. I think...
Well, you're not going to get on well at the fucking serial killer community then, are you?
No, I think if I was a serial killer doing that, I'd probably keep my head down. I'd work hard. I'd do the circuit.
Yeah.
Do all these murders. Obviously, well, there'll be more experienced serial killers. I'd learn from them. Yeah, I'd drive them to their murders.
I suppose if one of the other serial killers said, "You hack," I mean, that would actually be a compliment, wouldn't
it? That would be a compliment, yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "God, you were the other serial killer. He died of the murder last night."
Yeah.
The police got him. This is how that would work. I think maybe, I mean, the most local serial killer to me was Fred West and Mary West.
A family friend or?
No, just geographical. Geographical friends.
But that's not why you moved there.
No,
necessarily.
No, I moved here because I was born in this area. But that is why I chose to be born here.
Right.
As in, like, as I'm sure you know, the barrier between life and death is one passes, another soul must enter the realm. And I was like, it was a one-in, one-out policy. I'm not sure if the timings match up, but...
I'm not sure of the time, but I'll be honest with you. If you told me that you were born the week he died, I'd actually believe you. Because
I wasn't saying him. I was saying one of his victims.
Oh, right.
But you've gone immediately like, no, he sees himself as the reincarnation of Fred West.
Yeah, that's how I've seen you.
All right.
You know,
don't hand this into the police, please.
Yeah. I'm going to put Fred West Jr. Down in your psychological profile.
Fred South.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, because that's self-deprecating. Oh, I like that. I'm going to put self-deprecating there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's sweet, isn't it? People like that. Never guess what? We're ready for a final question.
The final one? This is the one you ask everyone?
It's one I ask everyone, and be really interested to find out your answer to this, Bert.
All right.
Bert, what is leghole?
What is leghole? It is...
Yeah, what is it?
It is a series.
What do you think has happened?
Is a series of questions which are deliberately misinterpreted to represent me in the worst possible light, sometimes accurately.
To be fair, you did nail that one. That is literally what it is. And do you know what? I'm going to put more aware than you think of down in your psychological.
And that's also why I'd be a good serial killer, because I don't let on.
Oh, well, there you go. So I'm going to put down self-confessed serial killer.
Yep. But the only thing I murder, apparently, are tortoises in the desert.
Yeah. Well, listen, what a profile you've got here, my friend.
Thank you.
Bert, firstly, thank you so much for being my very special guest here on Leghole.
Pleasure.
And let me go through your profile right now. Bert Williamson, you're a big cheater, a coward, you're deluded, you're trying to be cool, you're lazy, thick, you can't make a fucking sandwich, you're a realist, you're revolting, you're slightly smarter than me, unsure, pointlessly confident, not well-travelled, you don't care, you think some tortoises are pricks, you're not a replicant, you don't listen, you're sad, racist, you're an angry baby, you're Fred West Jr., you're self-deprecating, you're more aware than you'd think,
and you're a self-confessed serial killer. And when you put all those things together, they make up our beautiful friend and great comedian, Bert Williamson. Everyone applause, everyone applause, everyone applause.
Oh, thank you, mate.
The thanks are all mine. Thank you, my dear friend, Bert Williamson. Are you doing the Edinburgh Fringe this year?
I am. I've got my room sorted.
That's great. Where are you? When are you? What are you? Who are you?
I am doing my debut show, 200 IQ audience only, brackets, no munters. Very
strict. No thickies.
None whatsoever. I do wonder. I do hope people will realize that's a joke rather than just no one turns up to my show. But
I don't know. Your psychological profile speaks for itself, really.
Oh, dear. I'm at 3:05 p.m. in the Voodoo Rooms, the French Quarter.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. I'm looking forward to it.
Good time. Good time. It's all done by 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 4:05.
It'll be done by 4. That's what I said to them.
Yeah. I mean, listen, my shows are always like noon. I want it over with.
You up this year?
Nah. My shows don't even start at noon. That's how fucking over they are.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish I was going up this year, but I'm not. And I'm sure the listeners of Leghorn wishes I was going up too. But you know what? They've at least got you.
Well, yeah, I'll be a compromise.
Yeah, so please go and see Bert, 3:05 Voodoo Rooms, between the something of August right up till the something else of August this year. And what's your show called?
200 Snappy title. 200 IQ audience only, brackets, no munters.
It really is? That's the name of your show? I thought you were just making that very clear.
I think it's a funny title to have, so I'm going with it.
It's a good title. Great title. Well, thank you very much, Bert. Thank you all for listening. And when I say you all, I mean Neil. I don't know if you want to say hello to Neil, Bert, before we leave.
Hello, Neil. Pleasure.
Yeah. It's been another wonderful time here in the stinking leg hole. I wonder who will fall in next week. But in the meantime, let's hear it one more time for Bert Williamson. Everyone applauds. Everyone applauds. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye. Yeah.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.